I remember my baptism, at least my second one. I was actually baptized twice, which is a big no-no in the United Methodist Church. It's against our theology. Oh, gasp, yes. Against our doctrine, against the polity of the church. But my mom grew up Baptist. And so when I was baptized as an infant, that didn't really cut it for her. And so I was baptized again when I was older. It was the summer of 1991, which is hard to believe. It's been that long. But the school year before, I had gone to confirmation class in the church that I grew up in, South Ashland United Methodist Church. And when we do confirmation here, it's typically the whole school year. Well, there it wasn't quite that long. Our senior pastor came into the fifth grade Sunday school class for, maybe 6 or 7 weeks and just kind of talked to us a little bit about what it meant to be a Christian, what we believed as United Methodist, and then offered us the opportunity to join the church if we wanted. That was the extent of confirmation in my growing up. And so there were, probably 5 or 6 of us in that Sunday school class, and everyone decided to join the church except me. I decided that I wasn't ready. Pastor Jim Powell said, it's completely your decision. If you want to join the church, you are welcome to. We invite you to. We would love for you to. But no one's going to force you to do anything. And even though I'd been in that church my whole life, even though my family and I were extremely faithful, we were there every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, every Wednesday evening, we were there pretty much any time the doors were open, I didn't feel like I was ready to join the church. I'd learned all the Bible stories I knew about the creation and about Noah and the flood and Moses and delivering the Israelites out of Egypt. I knew about Jesus and all the miracles that he performed and the things he taught. I knew about the early church. I knew all this kind of stuff, but it was all just in my head. And I knew that even at the age of, 11 then. And I knew that church and that faith needed to be more than just in my head, that it needed to be in my heart as well. Something that I knew and trusted deep down inside of me. And so I decided not to join the church. I decided I wasn't ready. I can only imagine my parents' reaction. They never talked to me about it. I can imagine that on the one hand, they were supportive and they wanted to care for me and support me in whatever decision I made. But on the other hand, I imagine they were kind of disappointed and they were kind of shocked that me, I was kind of the poster child for kids in church. We had this thing called the Space Cubs, and it was a program, I think it's still out there, but you could earn these rewards, like if you memorized scripture passages and did all these things, and I earned every single one of them. Like I was I was the man in church those days. But I decided not to join the church. But that summer, I went to Aldersgate Camp, which is a United Methodist Church camp in Kentucky. And I think that was the first year that I was old enough to go. They've since kind of changed the restrictions. You can go when you're a little younger now. But after fifth grade, I think it was the first year that anyone was able to go back then. And I went to Aldersgate Camp, and I was surrounded there by other campers and by counselors and by staff who loved God and who loved Jesus. And I felt that love. It wasn't just something in my head, but it's something that I felt all week long. And I had an amazing time at camp. I loved all the camp stuff. I loved hiking through the woods and playing in the creek and swimming in the pool and making crafts and being with my cabin and the guys there and telling potty jokes and all the stuff that goes with church camp, right? We had a great time. I had a wonderful time that week. I learned all these new songs and just had a great time. There are friends that I made that week that I had for years and years afterwards. But the most significant thing that happened that week for me was on Thursday night. Each night we gathered as a camp around the campfire and we would sing songs and the leader of the camp that week would tell us a Bible story. And on that night, he told us about God's great love for us in Jesus Christ. That God would send God's Son to the world because God loved each and every one of us so much. And even though I'd heard that message many times, even though I knew it in my head, for some reason it just clicked in my heart that night. And I knew deep down inside that God loved me. And I felt that love in a powerful way. John Wesley described it as his heart being strangely warmed. And that's how it felt to me. I had this tingling sensation all over my body, this warmth that just spread from the inside, knowing and trusting that God loved me. Accepting that when God says that Christ came into the world to save the world, for God so loved the world that I was part of that. Me, John Hill, was part of the world that God loved so much that God would send Jesus Christ. And so I accepted that love that night. It became real to me. And I told my parents about it on the way home. I didn't talk to anybody else at camp. I don't know why. I just decided that was something I needed to keep to myself. But I told my parents on the way home when they picked me up. And then we met with the pastor, Jim Powell, and he said, "You've got to be baptized now and join the church." And I said, "Sounds good. Let's do it." And so I remember that Sunday, standing in front of the entire congregation and answering the baptism questions, my parents standing with me and my mom just crying the whole time. That's the main thing that I remember about that Sunday. My mom just in tears the entire time I'm up there. But I remember Jim Powell, the pastor, reaching his hand into the water and placing it on my head and saying, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And it's hard to believe, but that's been 25 years ago. But it's still one of the most significant moments of my life. One of the things that defines who I am, not just as a pastor, but as a person in the world, as a follower of Jesus Christ. And it was possible because I opened myself up, really I think God opened me up, to accepting and to realizing and to understanding that love, that message of God's love for me. And yet we often have a hard time accepting and understanding that message, don't we? And I think it's because we get told different messages than that all the time. That we're told, even from the time that we're young, not that God loves us, but that we're not good enough. That we don't deserve that kind of love. That we've done something wrong and we're not worthy. That there's something incomplete about us. It's a message that many of us get over and over and over again. It's a message that many of us tell ourselves over and over again. And whenever you hear something enough, whenever you hear it over and over again, it starts to become true in your mind. There's actually a scientific phrase for this. It's called the illusion of truth effect. Now, y'all have heard that we only use a small portion of our brain, right? How many of you have heard that? What percentage of our brain do we use? Anybody know? Say it loud. 10%? That's what we hear most often, yeah? 10%? That's a lie. It's not true. Right? But we've heard it so many times. It's just so common in our culture and in everything. We hear it over and over that we believe that it's true. Right? I mean, half of the congregation here just said we use 10% of our brain and that's it. It's not true. We use pretty much all of our brain. Right? The brain is 3%. It weighs 3%. Takes up 3% of the mass of our body, yet uses 20% of the energy that our body uses. We use pretty much all of the gray matter in our brain. And yet, since we've heard it so often that we only use 10%, we've come to believe that. Now, that's just a simple fact out in the world, and this happens in all kinds of things. But imagine how much greater the impact is when it's about your identity and who you are. When over and over again you hear a story about how there's something wrong with you, how you're not good enough, how you're unworthy. And that has a deep and a lasting impact. And it is a huge barrier for us to receive and experience the grace and the love of God in our lives. I wonder what stories like that we tell ourselves. What stories have others told us and that we've internalized, that we tell ourselves over and over again, and that we begin to believe are true. There's one for me about following rules. I have always been a rule follower ever since I was young. I probably got in trouble when I was like really little for not following a rule. And so I internalized that, oh, when you don't follow a rule, you get in trouble, something bad happens. And so ever since, I've been a rule follower. But part of the story that I tell myself is that I am good only if I follow the rules. If I don't follow a rule, then something is wrong with me. I'm a bad person if I break a rule, if I don't follow it. I wonder what stories like that you tell yourself. What are the stories you tell yourself about not being good enough? About being unworthy? About why things always seem to happen to you? About how life would be so much better if you just had this one thing, whatever it might be. We hear these stories over and over again. And even though they are not true, we begin to think that they are. And we live and we act as if they are true. Baptism is about a lot of different things. Today is the day that we remember Jesus' baptism and we remember our own baptism. And as Beth talked about in the children's message, baptism is about forgiveness, about our sins being washed away. I love that image of being cleansed with the water. Baptism is also about being initiated into the family of God, of joining the church and being part of this larger community of faith. Baptism is also about receiving a call into ministry, that through our baptism we are invited to join in God's work, to join in God's mission and ministry in the world. Baptism means a lot of different things. But first and foremost, baptism is a sign and symbol of God's love and grace. Baptism, more than anything else, is a sign and symbol that God loves us. And that is the story that God tells us today. That we, each and every one of us, is a child of God, created in the very image of God for a purpose, that we are known and loved by God, the one who shaped and formed us, the one who continues to act in our lives. We are loved. You are loved. I am loved. That is the truth of the gospel. That is the truth that the creator of the world speaks to us today. That is at the heart of what baptism is. And so this day, you may have other stories in your mind. Other stories you've been told over and over again about how you're unworthy or not good enough. John the Baptist even raises this in the story, right? He says, I'm not worthy. You should be the one baptizing me. Jesus says, no. And Jesus says no to all those stories that we tell ourselves. And says yes to the story of God's amazing love for each and every one of us. In a few moments, we will gather around this table and we will remember our baptism. You may not have a specific memory of it like I do, like standing in front of the congregation and my mom crying. But in this moment, we remember that we have been baptized. That God says, I love you. I care for you. You are worthy. You are important. You are valuable. You are my child. So this day, let us remember that story, the story of the gospel, the story that we are loved, and let us remember and celebrate our baptisms together. Amen.